A desire to reduce carbon footprints on the North Coast just advanced another step. New energy efficiency standards for construction in the city of Arcata actually exceed the standards set up by the state of California. It's not a permanent situation. As you'll hear, the state will catch up. The standards are contained in a recently passed city ordinance. Let's explore what led Arcata down this path. It is not an overnight kind of thing for that community. Three guests join us. Julie Neander is the Deputy Director of Community Services in the city of Arcata. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
You bet. We have two members of the Energy Committee with us as well. Gwelyn Paliaga is the Vice Chair. Hi, Gwelyn.
Good morning, and thank you.
Sure. And Jim Zolik is with us as well, another member of the Energy Committee. Hi, Jim.
Good morning.
Julie, let's start with you. The fact that there is an Energy Committee at all would seem to indicate a commitment to saving energy in Arcata. How long has the committee existed, and what does it do?
The committee has been in existence for more than a decade. And the committee advises the city on different policy issues that help us reduce our greenhouse gases. So it's a wide range. It can include transportation, looking at how we get people out of cars or how we make cars more energy efficient and therefore less polluting, as well as looking at our buildings and how we can reduce a dependence on fossil fuels there as well.
So it's got a very broad mandate from the sounds of it.
Absolutely.
Gwelyn Paliaga, tell us what got you interested in joining the committee.
My main interest in joining the committee is that my professional work is focused on energy efficiency and energy policy. And so the topic area of the committee and all the discussions are very relevant to my professional work. And then I happen to be a resident in the city and wanted to kind of give back to my community by sharing what I knew in the expertise I had in my professional work to advance the city's energy policy.
Jim Zolik, you're also in an energy-related kind of job, aren't you?
That's correct. Yes, I'm a managing research engineer at the Schatz Energy Research Center at Humboldt State. And I've been on the Energy Committee for close to the start. I wasn't on the first few years, but I've been with the committee over a decade now as well.
And so over that time, Jim, what kinds of things has the committee churned out there's two categories here, the kinds of things that have emerged from the committee and the things that have actually become ordinance.
One of the big things that we did early on was to develop a greenhouse gas reduction or action plan. And that kind of set some broad goals and tied the things we do to a purpose. We have, obviously we've just recently passed this ordinance for a REACH code. We are, the city of Arcata is a member of the Redwood Coast Energy Authority's Community Choice Energy Program. So that's a new Community Choice Aggregation Program that allows the members of our community, the city, but as well as all the residents to choose where they get their electricity from. So that allows us to reduce our carbon footprint in the electricity sector. And the city's also been very active in trails and things like that to encourage people to, as Julie said, to get out of their cars and get around town via pedestrians or bicycles and so forth. So those are some areas we've worked on.
Julie Neander, there's a particular local concern about the effects of climate change in Arcata. Can you lay that out for the folks who don't live that close to the ocean?
Absolutely. But when we talk about climate change, there's different factors that are associated with that. So one is just the fact that we do have an issue with sea level rise, and we are a coastal city, so there's impacts from sea level rise. As that sea level gets higher, the potential for flooding is greater, but also the potential for larger storm events. And so sometimes the impacts really come in one large storm, storm surge or that kind of thing as well. So those are both things that affect the city. Being in California, being in a Mediterranean climate, we also have very dry summers. And while we're coastal and we don't have this threat, I think that comes inland with fires. It's not completely zero either. So that's another issue that we look at in the city.
We're talking about energy efficiency in the city of Arcata with Julie Neander, who is the Deputy Director of Community Services. We have two members of the Energy Committee with us as well, Jim Zolik and Gwelyn Paliaga. Gwelyn is the Vice Chair. And you can take a part in this conversation. Join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 to talk about energy-saving ideas, 800-838-3760, or emails to jx@jeffnet.org. Gwelyn, Jim described what you're doing here as a reach code. Can you explain that?
Yes, I can. The California Energy Code stipulates the energy performance of new construction and retrofits in buildings. Every state has an energy code. In California, we happen to have a fairly aggressive energy code that is required statewide. But there's an opportunity for local jurisdictions to exceed that statewide code if they so choose. And that's what we're talking about in Arcata and what was recently adopted.
So were the energy standards part of the greenhouse gas reduction plan, or is this something that evolved separately or in conjunction with or something?
I think you would say that it is to support the greenhouse gas reduction plan. That's the overall objective of the Energy Committee, and I think Jim has more history, so perhaps he has something to add.
Yeah, go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, I would just say that the plan itself is pretty broad based, and so this is essentially an implementation measure, as Gwelyn said, in support of the plan, I would just add that the city has chosen to do this. There are some requirements for cities that want to do REACH code. So one thing is the state code, but also any local jurisdiction's REACH code. All of the code requirements have to have been demonstrated to be cost effective. And there's different sort of metrics as to how that's calculated. But basically, what it says is if somebody pays additional money sort of upfront at the time of construction to make their building more energy efficient, that over time they will be saving energy, saving money on their electric bill, saving money on their gas bill, and the savings they make over time will pay off that that investment in a reasonable time frame. And then after it's paid off, that they're going to incur or have the benefit of those savings over time. So the city, luckily, we did not have to do a study ourselves to prove the cost effectiveness. And actually, we have been thinking for a number of years about doing a REACH code, and really the main barrier was having to demonstrate. Essentially, we'd have to hire a consultant to do a study to show that whatever code we were going to exceeding code measures we were going to do would be cost effective. What the state did in partnership with the major utilities in California is they basically funded studies by consultants to do statewide studies of REACH code options. And they did it by climate zone, which is, I forget how many there are in California, over a dozen, I believe. Basically they did a study that looked in each of those climate zones and said, okay, what would be cost-effective REACH code measures that jurisdictions could do? And once they demonstrated that these things were cost-effective in these different climate zones, that allowed local municipalities in those climate zones to use those consultant reports as proof, if you will, that the measures are cost-effective. And so that was something that really kind of enabled this a small city like the city of Arcata to take something like this on, and also to be certain that we're not requiring things of our residents that are unreasonable. I mean, we don't want to be making people throw money away, but on the other hand, if people can invest a modest amount of incremental cost and see an economic return on their investment, as well as the environmental benefits, which is really the main impetus for this, that seems like a prudent decision, and that's what the council acted on and the city has enacted.
So it sounds like the beauty of having the numbers out there was that you didn't have to crunch them yourselves, didn't have to hire your own consultant. It was basically off-the-shelf research you could put your hands on.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I think, as a small jurisdiction, we don't have the funds to to do our own study, and it just doesn't really make sense. But so I think the state and had a good vision here that this was something that would be useful to municipalities, and it meets. I mean, the state, the state has very, as Gwellen said, very ambitious goals for energy efficiency, and very ambitious goals for addressing climate change. So the state is encouraging municipalities to do this. And I think, I think, as was mentioned in the call earlier on anyways, that the state will catch up with these REACH codes. These are pushing the envelope, but the state code every 3 years becomes, gets updated and gets more efficient. So
by 2020, is that what I understand, California will have caught up to Arcata?
Is that right, Gwellen? I mean, I think effectively, I don't know if it will be exactly the same as mm-hmm. the REACH code. Gwellen, can you clarify that?
Yes, that's January 1st, 2020, there'll be a new statewide code, and it will be it's much more aggressive than the current code. So in a sense, it will have caught up. The exact requirements are somewhat different than our local Arcata REACH code. So it won't be that they're copying ours. But if we want to have a local code that exceeds the state code, we will need to adopt a new REACH code that is above and beyond the new 2020 code when it's adopted.
So, Gwellen, let me establish once and for all, it is called a REACH code because you're reaching beyond what the state standards are. Is that right?
Correct. That's the term. And there's another term that's commonly used, and that is stretch code. Mm-hmm. And in fact, outside of California, there's a lot of activity across the nation in this area. In fact, led by an Oregon entity, the New Building Institute, not just led by them, but they're actually doing a lot of advocacy nationwide for what they call stretch codes.
All right. We're talking about how Arcata is stretching or reaching, your choice of term, beyond California's current energy efficiency standards for its own city standards in new construction. Gwellen Paliaga is the vice chair of the Energy Committee. Jim Zolik is one of the other members. Julie Neander is with us as well, deputy director of community services for the city of Arcata. You can join the conversation as we talk about energy efficiency here on the Jefferson Exchange. 800-838-3760 to register your thoughts by phone. Send your emails to jx@jeffnet.org. So what kinds of things, Julie, are contained within the ordinance? I mean, if you're looking to build a new house or a new apartment block or something in Arcata, what kinds of things do you have to do under the REACH code that you wouldn't have had to do before?
It's pretty simple. So this only applies to residential development.
Mm-hmm.
And for single family homes, you have to show that your building is going to be more efficient than the California code by 30%. So what you show is you do calculations that show that building will use only 70% of what's allowed under the California code. And for multifamily buildings, and these are low-rise multifamily buildings, you have to be 20% more efficient, or you have to show that your building will use only 80% of what's allowed under the current California code. And there's a lot of different measures you can use, so it's flexible in that the builder themselves or the designer can decide how they're going to meet that code. So it can be higher efficiency appliances. There's a certain credit for putting photovoltaics on the roof of your buildings, or at least associated with the building. Higher, more efficient insulation, more efficient windows and doors. Those are some of the factors that are allowed to get. And so they can kind of make the design and decide, well, what's going to be most cost effective for me as I design and build this.
Interesting. So it's not just that you must do this one thing. You have to do a little of this or a little of this and or a little. You can really kind of mix and match the whole thing, it sounds like.
Yes. Yes. There's flexibility within that.
Did you get much resistance?
I can elaborate.
Go ahead.
I just thought I'd elaborate a little on how this calculation occurs. There's actually a state-provided and mandated calculation tool. People call them energy simulations, but essentially it's a tool that you put in all the features of your proposed construction, and it calculates what your allowable energy budget is. That's the minimum code-mandated building, and then it will also calculate how your actual building performs in comparison to that. So essentially what the local ordinance requires is that you use that tool to show that you're 30% better. All right, using whatever measures and solutions that you want to come up with.
But it could be appliances, insulation, windows. I mean, it sounds like a whole bunch of things can come into play here.
Correct.
Yes, absolutely.
The other thing that I'll add is that so there sort of are two ways to meet the California Building Code, and Gwellen could certainly probably clarify this even better. But there's what's called a prescriptive approach and then a performance-based approach. Under the prescriptive approach, your building has to meet certain restrictions for lighting, let's say, or hot water heating or heating. It has to meet certain efficiency standards, certain types of technologies, et cetera. So that's kind of a check-the-box thing. Yes, you met this, you did this, you did this, but it's very, just as it's called, it's very prescriptive. The performance base is exactly what Gwellen just described, where you put the characteristics of your building into this energy simulation model, and the model tells you how much energy your building is going to use, and as long as it performs at or the energy consumption is at or below the allowed amount, then your building passes. And so this new REACH code is a performance-based REACH code, and it really requires that these new buildings go the performance-based route as opposed to the prescriptive route. And our understanding from working with the building department is that the vast majority of permits that come through the city are performance-based. And, that's kind of the typical thing. And it does, as you said, it gives people much more flexibility. It's they can mix and match things and have the characteristics they want while meeting the performance standards, as opposed to the state or the city or whoever telling them, you must do this, 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 and this. So,
Julie, was there much resistance from builders based on the more stringent requirements? I mean, the fact is that it's, great that there's going to be money saved over the life of a structure, but they're not going to be the ones to necessarily realize those.
So we did a lot of outreach prior to adopting the code. The Energy Committee held meetings and invited our building community to come, and we didn't get a lot of response, and we kind of repeated that outreach a few times. And we actually implemented the code on January 11th, so now all new applicants have to comply with it. We had to send, and we are doing another follow-up meeting in early February, so I'll find out. But currently, no, not much opposition at all.
We have one email here from Patricia Ann in Eureka. We only have about 30 seconds to answer it. She wants to know what this does for Historic Design District. Jim Zolik?
Oh, that's a good question. And I mean, this is only for new construction, so I'm not sure how that would fit into Historic Design District. And then for sort of major retrofits, I don't know, Gwellen or Julie, I don't know what else to say about that.
No, I think that we have to comply with all the other code requirements. So, and if we have historic buildings that need to be maintained a certain way, they still will have to do that. So, but it doesn't preclude you from doing better insulation in your attics or installing higher efficiency heaters or water heaters or higher efficiency, other types of
Okay.
Utility.
All right, REACH code in effect in Arcata as of January 11th. Julie Neander, Gwellen Paliaga, Jim Zolik, thank you all so much for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.